My memories of my mother and father are few. The earliest memory I have is when my dad, Raymond, was building his house in Greenville. My mother, Caroline, would catch me putting nails down through the knot holes in the floorboards. Even today, I still can see my mother in the kitchen area listening to my dad down in the basement complain that he's being hit by nails dropping from the ceiling. When he came up from the basement, my dad said,
"Hey you, young man, what are you doing without my nails? You're dropping them on my head like bombs."
I can still smell the sawdust on his clothes when he gave me a hug. And I can see my mother's face as we both got her smile of approval. Another early memory is of being at my great-grandfather Edward Knaus's farm in Blanchard. He lived on a dirt road in a big two-story Dutch-style house with a steep roof. A tall windmill stood next to the house, and it was used to pump water. There was a small tool shed and garage behind the house that was overgrown in grapevines on one side and purple, white, and blue lilacs on the other. Great-grandpa had planted different colored lilac bushes together that grew up to be a big three-color bush. There was a big two-story barn with a hayloft on top, and the animals were kept in the bottom. Great-grandpa Knaus had honeybees on the farm, and he kept a large jar full of honeycomb in the dugout cellar under the farmhouse. Grandma Knaus gave me a small piece of one to eat, and when she was not looking, I helped myself to more. I learned that too much sweet can turn your stomach sour, and boy did I get sick from eating too much. Honey and I never got along again. I remember being in their front yard with my family. My grandmother, Viva Knaus, wanted to take a picture of the men in the family. She wanted a picture of what she called
the four generations of the Knaus family.
This was, first, my great-grandfather, Edward. Second, my grandfather, Harold Forrest. Third, my father, Raymond Lee. And fourth, me, Ronald Lee Knaus. I love my grandmother very much. I can still hear her pleading with me to stand still at the end of the line so she could take a picture. It was during my terrible twos, and I did not behave that day. I don't know why. I was always such a good boy. My dad had to chase me down, tackle me, and put me between his legs so I would stand still. Then Grandma took the picture. These pictures were taken on the last day my parents were together. Growing up on a farm and being the next to the youngest made my mother, Carolyn June Ostrander, a fighter and a stubborn opponent. By her sheer will to pull herself up to a better life, she accomplished by herself more than any other member of her family had. She supported me and her way through nursing school by pure determination to succeed. The men were just coming home from the Second World War. Her generation of gals left the farm and headed to the city to find work and the possibility of romance and a new family. Back in the 1950s, when Carolyn and Raymond were married, couples did not get divorced. When they took the vow of, for better or worse, they meant it and they stayed together for life. But after World War II, when the soldiers and sailors came home, the trauma of war had affected some of them. A few of the veterans found it difficult to blend back into civilian life after the war. Raymond was one of the many that did not handle his responsibility to his family very well, and my parents separated forever. Another early memory of my childhood happened at my Aunt Frieda's and Uncle Willard Ostrander's farm in Six Lakes. I stayed there for 2 years and only found out why when my mother came one day to pick me up. I was 4 years old and getting ready to start school for the first time. She pulled into the yard of my uncle's home and got out of the car with a stranger, Gerald J. Pat Patton, 1922 to 2003, stepfather. When I ask, "Where is my dad?" Carolyn said,
"This is your dad. You just don't remember what he looks like."
From then on, I knew my mother would lie to me. It was hard to tell what hurt me more, not seeing my dad with her or knowing that she would lie to me. This has stuck with me throughout my adult life. Why would she lie to me? My mother had dropped me off with one of her brothers and his wife and daughter while going through her divorce with my dad. My aunt and uncle only had one child, a girl, and they lived on a farm raising horses. I was an only child also, and I loved staying there. I had so much fun playing with my cousin. She was older than me and more mature, but I always had fun enjoying her company. Besides being a full-time farmer, my Uncle Willard also worked at the local slaughterhouse, and sometimes he would take us with him to work. It was an eye and nose opening experience visiting the slaughterhouse. The smell of blood will stay with you for a long time. I was not old enough to do any farm chores and too short to saddle a horse. I must have been a little burden on the family, but each one treated me as one of their own. And boy, was it fun riding the horses. They had a large farm, and the neighbors did not mind us riding across their land, so we had a large section of Michigan to roam. Uncle Willard was very proud of his matched pair of horses, Prince and Tippy. There was an apple orchard on their farm behind the pig pen next to where the horses grazed. We could ride through the trees, pick off an apple without even getting off the horse. I remember saying back then, "Someday I will plant me some apple trees so I can walk right out into the yard, pick an apple off the tree, and eat it." Much later, I did just that. And I thank the Lord each time I eat one of my Michigan Red Delicious apples off the trees I planted years ago. Amen. My cousin Vicky was also very interested in horses, and she was a barrel rider. She and her mother traveled all over the state to compete in horse shows, and they brought home many trophies and blue ribbons. My Aunt Frieda loved anything to do with horses. She did all her own leather work in a Michigan basement under the house. This was a hole under a building, and the walls were made of field stone or sometimes just dirt. They always smelled musty, but they kept the food from spoiling. And it was a cool place to go in the hot summer when you didn't have air conditioning. One afternoon, my aunt and uncle went someplace and left us kids alone at the farm. My uncle gave me stern orders to be good, mind my cousin, and do whatever she said while they were gone. All was going quite well until we found a half of an Almond Joy candy bar that was left in the refrigerator. We both wanted some, and we knew that it had to be cut in half, but neither one of us liked using a sharp knife. Well, I lost the argument about which one does the cutting, and she handed the knife to me. Only one big problem. She held the candy bar between two fingers when I did the cutting. Yep, she got cut pretty bad on the thumb. It seemed like a long time before the adults got home. My joy to hear them arrive was short-lived when I got scolded about cutting my cousin with a knife. I said I just did what she told me to do. Before school started at the age of 5, I went back to live with my mother. Just after I left Uncle Willard Ostrander's farm, a tornado hit their house, car, and barn. The high winds destroyed the walls of the barns and plucked off some of the feathers from the chickens. All the people that came to see the damage were amazed that the bales of hay and the loose stuff on the floor was left untouched by the wind. Turk Lake Elementary School was a three-room schoolhouse with a kitchen for serving meals and a large playground. They put kindergarten, first and second grade students in one room, in another room the third and fourth graders, and in another room the fifth and sixth graders. I attended grades kindergarten through fifth. Once a year, the PTA, Parents Teachers Association, would have a banquet at the school for the families. The dining room tables were kept folded up so the floor space could be used for some indoor activity. Before a banquet, the janitor would take a big round key and stick it into the table and turn it. This allowed him to unwind and set up the tables. Then the kitchen people would bring out the table settings for the meal. When this was done, the teachers would set little name cards at each plate. They separated the students by grades and seated families together. The kids in the school could tell there would be a banquet that night because all day they could smell the meal being prepared in the kitchen. After school, the kids would run down to the dining room to find out where they were sitting that night and who they were sitting by. More than once, I got asked this question. How come your mother has a different last name than yours? Doesn't she love you? Divorce was not an option in a failed relationship during most of this time. But families were starting to be undermined by more liberal views. Hollywood provided movies that supported this erosion of the foundation of the family. Marriages were being put to the test with advertising and easy access to television. And women that went through divorce were usually frowned upon and blamed for the separation. This was so obvious to me because it was ingrained into the children I went to school with, to blame the mother.